Hi, this is Eric Casto with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. We're in the School of Acts, and today we're going to lay a foundation, kind of a pre-supplement, before we get into the actual School of Acts book. But I really believe that, as I was looking over, my notes into what got me into the book, into the direction, there were things that I believe that need to be added, maybe a secondary work, but we're going to put this in one or two segments before the actual course begins, because it's a necessary foundation for the student to understand the times, the seasons, and where we are. Let me open in a word of prayer, and let's get started. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you right now for the Word of God. Father, we thank you for the anointing that was on the sons of Issachar. They knew, understood times and seasons, and they knew what the people of God should be doing in the time that they were in. I pray that that spirit, that prophetic spirit, would be upon the teaching of the Word of God. That as we lay the Word of God out, that the Holy Spirit and the Word would mix together and change us, equip us, and make us ready to do the will of the Lord. So, Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you have your Bible, I want you to take it and go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And, of course, with the School of Acts, kind of the heart of the teaching is the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But that's in the very core of the book. Before you get to the Holy Spirit, you got to go through resurrection and prayer. The church believed in resurrection, and the church was a praying church. It was a prayer-based church, not program-based, but prayer-based. As they prayed, programs were added that were bathed in the prayers of the apostles and through the hands of the deacons. And so first things have to be first in the church. And, you know, one thing that I learned as a missionary in England, when I actually came to the point of quitting, is that the Lord needed me to come to that place, because so many times we want to do something for the Lord. And that's good. We should want to do something for the Lord. But the thing is, you can't do anything for the Lord on your own. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And so many times, we really miss out on the Lord, because he wants a friendship. He wants to walk with us. He wants us to experience his faithfulness, bringing about the vision of God as we move forward. And so this church in the book of Acts was a church given to prayer. And in prayer, the Lord was able to infuse the branches with life, with power, and with direction. And so all of a sudden, you began to see things being birthed into the church, such as feeding the widows and the ministry of deacons. And it all came out of prayer, not out of just let's do it. That's different. So the Holy Spirit, gifts of the Holy Spirit, that's the very core of this study. But you got to go through resurrection, got to go through prayer. And then when you put that whole package together, you're going to have harvest. And as you're moving forward in harvest, that's what we're called to be doing, then there's persecution. But in the midst of persecution, there's always the ministry of angels, and then there's God's judgments. So the School of Acts is going to incorporate all of that into it, and it's powerful. Now, in order to understand where we are, let's take a look at this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and let's begin with verse 1. And Paul is writing, he says, now concerning the things that pertain to the Spirit of God. We say spiritual gifts, but the word gifts is not actually in the Greek. It's being used to try to help you and me to understand something. But it really means the things that pertain to the Holy Spirit, the things that he has. So concerning these spirituals, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. So the heart of Paul is, I'm going to be writing a lot of stuff by the Spirit of God. I want you to study it. I want you to learn, and I want to get it in you. I don't want you to be ignorant. And so verse 2, you know that you were Gentiles, carried away to dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Verse 4. Now this is where we're going to kick in here. There are diversities of gifts, but it's the same Holy Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it's the same God who works all in all. And wow, that's powerful. You're seeing the Trinity in operation. You see the Holy Spirit. He's overseeing what? The gifts of the Spirit. You see the Lord at work. He is overseeing the administrations. And then the Father, God Almighty, He is working all the pieces together in the overall planning, and it's all working wonderfully and powerfully, and it's going to accomplish what He wants. There are assignments to the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is overseeing the gifts of the Spirit. Now you say, well, Brother Eric, help me understand that a little bit better. Well, in a military campaign, such as Operation Desert Storm or any old operations, from former, like World War II or other battles that we're more familiar with, there is the overall operation. It may include the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines. It will have all the different plans going into place, and there will be a general, maybe a president, who is the final say of overseeing this whole plan. But then within the plans, there's a lot of different pieces that go into operation. And so there are different people overseeing the different parts, and it all works together into one major operation. So it is in the kingdom of God. There are times and seasons that Jesus said it's in the Father's hand. Even concerning the Lord's return, this authority belongs to the Father. And He said, you know, I don't even know the day and the hour, but the Father does. And then when you get over into Acts chapter 17, Paul is preaching, and he says the times and the seasons and the habitations of man, it all belongs to God the Father. And even in the book of Daniel, Daniel talks about the Father. He determines times and seasons. He raises up a king and he lowers a king. And when kings are changed out and new kings come in, whole new operations go forward. And God's overseeing all of this. Now, when you think about the gifts of the Spirit, there are 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to get into that in the School of Acts. The Holy Spirit is the same power, same person of the Holy Spirit, who's overseeing the distribution and the manifestation of these gifts, these operations of the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers and in the lives of corporate congregations, okay? So He's overseeing that. And He's actually here on the earth with us. He's in me. He's in you if you're a Christian. But then you have the Lord. He is overseeing the administrations. So if we take a look at the book of 1 Corinthians, and the Bible says, let's go 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's go down towards the end of the chapter. And the Bible says that this, verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. So when it comes to the administration or people. That's what administrators are. We're people. And there are offices and purposes. And so the Lord is overseeing the administration. It says this in verse 28, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues, are all apostles, or all prophets, or all teachers, or all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healings, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret. Covet earnestly the best gifts, yet show I unto you a more excellent way. So, all of a sudden, just from this little piece of scripture, you see the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but then you see the administrators, apostles, prophets, teachers, those that do miracles, those that are operating in healing. With that, let's turn over to the book of Ephesians. Let's go to the book of Ephesians. And we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. And the Bible says, and he gave, now so these are coming from the Lord. He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and some teachers for, now there's a purpose for all of these. These administrations, they're all different and they have a function to them. For a purpose, an overall purpose, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come together into unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. The goal is the fullness of Christ. And you know, one reason why he gives all of these wonderful administrations is because he knows we're ignorant. We're lacking. We're not in unity. And so many times one denomination says, well, we're better than you because we believe this. And the other denomination says, well, you don't believe like I do. Well, of course they don't. The Lord said that. We're not in unity, but we have the spirit of unity. And so God gives his word and these administrations in order to work by the Holy Spirit to develop unity into the body of Christ. Now, the problem is when men in groups harden themselves or stiffen their spine, they become hard-hearted, and they refuse to accept their brothers, and they put a wall up against them, then in effect, they've put a wall up against themselves, and they're not going to grow anymore either. Because the unity is in the Spirit. And when you're not carrying the unity of the Spirit, you're hindering this whole thing. Now let's go back to topic here. The Holy Spirit is overseeing the gifts, his gifts, the things that pertain to him. The Lord is overseeing the people who are called into these positions of service. Remember, the Lord walked by the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and he said to Peter, James, and John, and he says, hey, follow me. I'm going to make you to become fishers of men. Well, that wasn't the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That was the Lord. He was in operation. He was calling men into offices of ministry. Why? Well, because at that time, when the Lord was on the earth, there was an operation of God that included the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It included the Lord himself in operation with that power upon him. And then he was calling people to follow him. And those 3 years, there was an operation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, on the earth. But it was going to shift. It was going to change. It was going to become, what? The church on the earth and the Lord in heaven. But nothing changes. The Lord is still the one who comes and he calls us into service. And, you know, I remember when I was 18 years old and I had an encounter with Jesus in my bedroom and under that presence of love, holiness, power, all by myself in that room, I began to weep, and I gave myself not only to the Lord, but I gave myself to His purpose. And so that night, May the 18th, 1987, I said yes to the calling. He was calling me to follow Him. And so I remember that day so clearly. I was being placed into a position of service, and in that position of service, there's been a whole lot of manifestation of the Holy Spirit throughout the years. So the Holy Spirit, the Lord, and the Father is overseeing the big picture, the overall picture. You say, well, Brother Eric, can you make it a little more clear for me? Well, let's try that. I want you to go take your Bible and go to the book of Genesis, and we're going to just look in here and get a better picture so we can understand these things. Genesis chapter 6. Genesis 6. Now, everybody knows the story of Noah. But let's just look at a couple things in here. And so by doing so, I think we can paint a picture so you can get a better idea of gifts, administration, and operation. Here we go. Chapter 6, verse 1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. They took them wives of all of which they chose. So there was no discipline. There was no self-control. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man, because he is flesh. His days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, and they became mighty men who were of old, men of renown. God saw. Now, the earth is really going into a wobbly of sin. I mean, it's bad. God is watching this. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. That's a problem. And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were evil continually. And the Lord repented that had repented in himself that he had made man on the earth. It grieved him at his heart. Now, can you imagine that? God loves man. Man created in his image and likeness, and now God is grieved that he made man. Grieved in his very heart. Now think about that. Think about your own life. Are you grieving the Lord? Am I grieving the Lord? Because we can. And so, and the Lord said, I will destroy man. Can you imagine just verses before? Let us make a man in our image, in our likeness. Give him dominion and authority. And now God is saying, I will destroy man, whom I created from the face of the earth. And I don't know, you know, the heart of God, he knew he created man. But there's also a wonderful verse that says that Jesus was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. Meaning that God, in this creation called man, there was so much love in it that man was such a unique creation. In fact, you and I have no understanding of the glory that's coming, of how we really were created for the glory of God, where we are the temple of God and God himself is in the midst of us. You and I, the eyes have not seen, the ears have not heard, it's not even entered into your heart to understand the glory that is coming. But right now, we're here. And here's God. He says, wow, I'm going to destroy man. But he had a plan. Because Jesus had already, before man was created, decided that in the creation of this wonderful creation that can do a lot of damage, I'm going to die for them to redeem them. That was already in the heart of God when he created man. Now that's love. And that love created you. Pure love. When you were created, God had already decided that he would pay for you with his own life. Because it's only his life that can put life back into you. Now, so I'll destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air. For it repents me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so now you can take time, and you need to do it. You need to go back and read the story of Noah. In fact, the Bible says that when the Lord comes, the days, it will be like as in the days of Noah. So it's important to study the story of Noah. Everywhere you go, you see rainbow flags. Well, in the spirit, God is laughing. The devil thinks he's doing one thing, but God is laughing at the devil, because everywhere you go, there's a reminder, the days of Noah. Now, God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, they're grieved. But now there's a plan. There's an operation. It's called the flood. God is going to destroy man, except for Noah, and every living, breathing, creeping thing upon the earth. So, in the operation of Noah, there's going to be an ark of salvation. So, here comes the Lord. He's over administrations. He comes in and, hey, Noah, I'm the Lord. I want you to follow me. And then the Holy Spirit, through the Lord, begins to reveal the flood, the plan of God, and what? A word of wisdom of what's coming, seeing into the future, understanding through the Spirit of God, into the will of God, into what is coming. And then the gift of faith had to come down upon Noah in order for him to begin to trust God on a new level, a realm of protection around this man, because Satan hates God and he wants to consume all men to keep the hope of a redeemer from coming. Why was the gift of faith in operation? And I believe the gift of faith was the key operation around Noah that caused all of this to function. Well, don't you think Satan was going to try to kill Noah? Don't you think there was a lot of evil men that killed other men? No, the Bible says violence. The Satan was going to try to kill Noah. And you know what? When we're in heaven and we're all together, we're going to sit down with Noah and say, tell us what it was really like. Oh, they tried to kill me. I was the number one hated man. They thought I was crazy, but they also hated me and they tried to kill me. But thank God for the protection of God, the gift of faith, protecting, providing. So the Lord calls Noah. The Holy Spirit begins to reveal what's going, the wisdom of God, supernatural wisdom, an ark, an ocean liner for animals. I got to build it. And then there had to be a provision of finances, because people don't work for free, and Noah didn't build the ark on his own. He had to have wealth in order to reciprocate. I'll pay you. You help me do this. Well, Noah, I don't believe that there's going to be a flood, but I sure would like your money. I'll work for you. And I think you're crazy, but as long as you keep paying me, I'll help build the ark. And so you had a team of people come together, people that were not going to believe God repent and get on the ark. But yet, by the power of the Holy Spirit, through the operation of God, these pieces and parts were coming together. Noah wasn't doing it. Noah said, yes, Lord, power of the Holy Spirit revealing. Noah goes forward and all of a sudden gold, provision, and now laborers are coming together. Everything is beginning to come into place for the next 100 years in this part of the overall operation. Now, there were parts to it. The first part was building the ark. Well, Noah's faithful. Jesus is praying that his faith won't fail. The gift of faith is operating. The word of wisdom is operating. And whatever else the Holy Spirit needs to do to keep things edified, comforted, exhorted, and moving forward in the plan of God. In the overall, what? Operation. The Father was overseeing it. At the right time, the Father says, okay, it's time to bring the animals. Now, Noah didn't go out and find the animals. The animals, by the Holy Spirit, were coming and finding Noah. That's part of the operation. It wasn't Noah's job. Noah was building the ark. The Father was overseeing. Now it's time for animals to come, and the Holy Spirit is moving. The angels are out there, and they're bringing the animals in all around. Then it came time to get on the ark. Now, not all the animals got on the ark. Oh, I think only the baby ones did, because they're easier to take care of, and they take less room, they eat less, and so they began to get on the ark, and maybe the rest of the animals were out there to protect the ark. I don't know. Maybe a bunch of lions were standing guard with rhinoceroses and elephants standing guard around the ark. Nobody wants to mess with a rhinoceros. But they finished the ark. Noah gets on the ark. Now, this is another part of the operation. It has nothing to do with Noah. God shut the door. Shut it. He sealed it. Noah didn't do that. This door was a door of salvation. It was open for anyone to get on. But they didn't get on. All those men that built Noah's ark didn't believe. Even after they saw the animals supernaturally come and get on the ark, just like Noah said, they still refused to repent and believe. Now Noah, he's resting. He can't do anymore. But the operation now is still moving forward. And now there is a new part that comes into play in the overall operation. The Lord's man Noah was resting inside. The power of the Holy Spirit is still the gift of faith. I believe that boat was so saturated in the operation of the gift of faith. It was the gift of faith that brought manna for 40 years in the desert. It was the gift of faith. I mean, that causes these mighty operations of God. Daniel in a lion's den, surrounded by lions. They don't touch him because the power of God's faith in full manifestation is right there. And keeping him, delivering him, and that operation of God's faith on that ark must have been saturating it. Well, the Father says it's time to split the skies and to sever the earth so that the waters from above will come down and the waters from below will come up. And I believe, just like when you read Revelation, there were angels in the sky, and there were angels that went down into the water. They're not going to drown. They went right down, and they were severing. All those wicked people didn't know that angels were coming. And all of a sudden, water begins to pour. And that boat rises up. The operation belongs to God. He's overseeing all the parts. Ark goes up. The Lord's man Noah and his family are safe inside. The Lord is overseeing them. The Father is overseeing the whole. And the Holy Spirit, He's working manifestation of the faith of God, the gift of faith upon Noah and that ark. It was just, I'm getting excited just thinking about it. Well, judgment came down. Everything was destroyed. And at a certain point, times and seasons belong to the Father. The Father said, it's time for the rain to stop. And then some time went by, and He said, now it's time for a wind to come. And the Father releases the wind, and the wind begins to move and shift the waters. And now this is a real wind. This isn't just some gentle spring day. We're talking about a wind that was so powerful that it was taking water and freezing it into the polar regions, and it was moving that all that extra water that flooded the earth into the poles and freezing it there. And now there was going to be a whole shift in how this earth was going to deal with summer, spring, winter, fall. It was all going to change. The Lord was overseeing this. The Father was overseeing it. Well, the time comes. That wind has begun to clear the mountains. And that ark sits down upon the mountains as that water begins to dissipate. And all of that dead flesh in that whole area of the world is now draining off and draining into the sea so that the land can be cleared, ready for man to come back down. All of this belongs to the Father. Well, the day comes where the Lord, working with His man Noah, says, all right, Noah, send out some birds and start confirming about whether it's time to open the door. And well, the time came and they opened the door, and the Lord and His man Noah walks out. Well, the Lord was there. Now, they didn't see the Lord, but He was there because that's His man Noah. And all of a sudden, God says, now I'm going to put a rainbow in the sky to show man, to show Noah and his sons, I will never destroy the whole world again by water. It was a part of the overall operation. From start to finish, that wonderful rainbow was the end of this operation called the flood, or the operation called the ark, whatever you want to call it. Because there was more than just an ark in this operation. But like I said, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, and the Father overseeing it all. Now you can understand why Paul is writing, and he's writing to the church, because we are in the church age. The Lord is calling men to follow Him, to do things, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, miracle workers and tongues and governments. The Lord has a lot of places to put called people, and then the Holy Spirit is manifesting, and by the power of God, and that's what you're going to see when you study the school of Acts, you're going to see that every major breakthrough in church history came by a manifestation of the Holy Spirit through the church. And I tell you what, also angels, you got to have angels operating too. So let me just recap it. Administrations belong to the Lord. The gifts of the Holy Spirit for those administrations, it's in the Holy Spirit's hands. He is the one who wills. And the Father is overseeing it all. Right now, our operation, our mandate in this operation of God called the church age is to preach the gospel, is to tell people about Jesus Christ and to tell them how much He loves them, that He died for their sins, and that there is forgiveness through repentance in His name. And that's what we need to be doing. We can't be lazy. We have to do our job in this operation. And the Bible says for those that do, there will be reward for them because they discerned the times and they obeyed what the Word of God said to do, and there shall be great reward, just as there was reward with Noah. Let me close there. Now, this is the first kind of a pre-supplement before you get into the School of Acts. It's important to understand these operations of God. By looking at Noah, you can understand we're in an operation right now. It's called the church age. And there's something that we have to be doing. It's called preaching the gospel. And so let me just pray for you. Heavenly Father, I've done the best I know how to do. Now bless my friends. I ask that there be an impartation into them concerning understanding these times and seasons, that they would know what they need to be doing. Because Jesus, we know you're coming back soon and we want to be ready for you. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now go to our website at www.foursmiles.com. There's more information there. And remember, we love you. Jesus loves you. He's coming soon. We need to be ready. God bless you. Bye-bye.